Creek Christian Church. I'm also going to lay out some focus areas for the coming year that I think we should have as a community of believers that are tied directly to the mission of Hannah's Creek. So this is a little bit different for those of you that may be new with us. This isn't a typical sermon. This is me standing up here saying, this is who we are as a church. This is the vision, the mission that I believe God has given us as a church, and I just want to bring it back to your attention. So the vision of Hannah's Creek Christian Church, this is something you should have committed to memory, actually, and I would challenge you, if you don't have it committed to memory, that should be on your priority list this week. Our vision at Hannah's Creek is transforming our community by loving God, loving people, and making disciples. That means that's what we should be all about. If that's the vision God has given us, to transform this community by loving Him, loving people, and making disciples, then that should be of the utmost importance to us. Now, what this vision does, some say, well, where did you get that? And where does this come from? Listen, I think every church should have the same vision, because I think Scripture lays out the vision that God has for His people. So what we did here at Hannah's Creek is we combined two great things. We combined the great commandment with the great commission, and that gives us a great vision that God has for the church. So I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. This is where Jesus is kind of pushed and asked, hey, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And this was Jesus' reply. He said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All of the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. In other words, what Jesus is saying is everything that the Old Testament was pointing to leads to these two things, loving God and loving people. And the reality is they are inseparable. When he says the second is like it, he is not saying that the second is really something different. He is saying that the two really are the same, because you cannot love God and not love people. Our love for God is demonstrated by our love for people. And then if you flip over a few chapters to Matthew chapter 28, this is like Jesus say, hey, I'm going to ascend to heaven. And this is the most important thing I could say to you as my followers. This is what you should be about. We call it the Great Commission, where Jesus reminds his disciples that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's a statement to make. All authority is mine. Listen what I'm saying. And then he gives the command. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So that's how we get the vision. We love God, we love people, we make disciples. These are three of the most important things that Jesus passes on to his followers. And when we can prioritize these three things, then we are effectively living as a priesthood of believers. Loving God, loving people, making disciples. That's the vision. Now, the mission is how we accomplish that. The mission is, how do we make the vision become a reality? Not just something that we think about or something that we aspire to do, but when we think about mission, it is how we actually transform this community by loving God, loving people, and making disciples. We boil it down to four simple words: know, grow, show, go. That's what we boil it down to. We want people to know Jesus. We want people to come to faith in Jesus. But we also want people to grow in that relationship with Jesus. And then eventually we want people to understand how to show the attributes, the characteristics of Jesus in their daily life, and then tell other people about Jesus. So it's about coming to Hannah's Creek, maybe the first time as someone who does not know Christ, coming to know Christ. And over the course of a period of time, you can go make people disciples. This is not about just telling people about Jesus. It's about helping people grow into a full faith. So we're moving people toward becoming a fully devoted disciple of Jesus Christ, committed to his mission for the world. So 2 years ago, I did something kind of similar to this. And 2 years ago, we put together an assimilation plan. And what that means, it's a fancy word for, it's just a path that we recommend for people to a place to start and a goal to work toward. We believe that that path helps people grow and be transformed in their own life. So I've updated that pathway a little bit this year. We've already implemented some of that, and you probably didn't even recognize it. But I want you to understand, now please listen to what I'm saying. Our goal for you at Hannah's Creek is not just being a regular attender on Sunday morning. That's not our expectation of you. That's not the goal that we have for you. That's not what we want from you. We do not want you to simply be a regular attender here at Hannah's Creek. That is the starting point. That's where you begin your journey. So there's some steps that we recommend to take. Obviously, we want you to come regularly. That's step one. In full transparency, for some of you, that has become the end point. That has become the goal. You're content with coming and sitting regularly on Sunday, and you say, I've arrived, I've made it, I'm doing my Christian duty. That's step one. Step two is Attend Grow 101. We hold this about three times a year. We go through 3 1-hour to 1.5-hour sessions. The first one is New to Hannah's Creek, where you get to know all about the church, how it's structured, how it's organized, why we do what we do, what we believe, and what we expect. And then we ask you to come to the next session, which is the basics of spiritual growth. This is where you're going to get like the tools that help you begin that process of growing in your faith. And then we end that Grow 101 with the basics of spiritual gifts. Now, why do we end with spiritual gifts? Because we want you to utilize the gift that God has given you to serve his church. And so step three, regular attendance. Step two, Grow 101. Step three, join a serve team. We have a lot of teams here at Hannah's Creek, and we want you to be a part of it. And then coming up this year, and this is, I think, probably one of the most important pieces of any church, we want you to be in a small group. We want you to be a part of a small group. Now, what I have found as I've reflected on my time here at Hannah's Creek, as I reflected on the last year in particular, I think there are some areas of the mission that need more focus. I think we've been a little bit too complacent with how we approach the mission of Hannah's Creek. So two focus areas for 2026. So what that means is you're going to hear sermons about these things. You're going to hear me saying, hey, you need to be involved in these things. Focus area number one is growth through groups. Focus area number two is showing through serving. Notice these are taken right from the mission. Growth through groups, showing through serving. So here's some things that are coming with small groups. I'm beginning a small group leader training January 18th at 6 p.m. I've already sent out emails to people who we feel might be interested in leading small groups. If you have not heard from me, say, hey, I think that'd be something I'd be interested in. I'd like to lead a group. If you have not heard from me, if you haven't gotten an email, let me know. I'd be more than happy to have you be a part of that group. That leadership training lasts until the end of February. We will have signups for groups that will take place the second and third week of March. And then we will kick off small groups after spring break. So we don't have to worry about, oh, I can't sign up for a group because we're going away on spring break and I'm going to miss. And if I miss one group, then I might as well not do the whole thing. We will start after spring break and we will run until summer break. So it's about a 6 to 8 week commitment. We're going to take a break through the summer and then we will resume again once school starts. Now, some groups may continue to meet through the summer, but predominantly we will say we're going to break through summer. So we're following the school calendar, basically. So look forward to that. And when those groups come out, there's going to be a few groups. We want you to be a part of a group. Growth, spiritual growth, does not happen on Sunday morning. If you think that you're coming on Sunday morning and listening to me and growing by eating one meal a week, you're mistaken. I would challenge you this week to only eat one meal this week and see how you feel physically. Because that's what most people in America are doing when it comes to spiritual food. They're eating one meal a week on Sunday morning, and they're starving the rest of the week. And it feels like they're growing on Sunday morning because their hunger is satisfied. But really, there's no growth. It's just satisfying the hunger. It's the bare minimum. So when we launch these groups, get into a group. That's when you'll experience real spiritual growth. I promise. Second focus area, showing through serving. And I'm going to turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Tyler, I don't remember if I put this one on there, honestly. I don't think I did. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Now, this kind of lays the foundation for serving, and it helps us understand something very important. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. All right, so there's the foundation. When we talk about serving, we are not trying to motivate you to serve to be saved. We don't want you to think because you're serving, that's what is saving you. That is what is helping you experience God's grace. No. What Paul reminds us is that we are saved by grace through faith. That's a gift. It's not by works so that no one can boast. But listen to what he says next. For we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So essentially what Paul is saying, we are not saved by our service, but we are saved to serve. That's the goal. We're not saved for the sake of God sparing us from hell. We're saved for the sake of serving in his kingdom. And so part of the vision, part of the mission at Hannah's Creek is we want to help you understand that this idea of faith, it's so much more than fire insurance. Faith is not just about keeping you out of hell. Faith is about transforming you to serve and bring heaven to earth. Now, faithfulness is not fully experienced when we sit and listen. Sitting and listening is an important part, but that's not where faith is fully expressed. Faithfulness is fully expressed when we hear, listen, and do. So sitting and listening must be balanced with stepping up and serving. Now, I did something interesting this past week. I kind of just went through a Sunday morning experience here at Hannah's Creek, and I logged all of the needs that we have just on Sunday morning. This is just Sunday morning. Now, Hannah's Creek does a lot more through the week than just Sunday morning, but here's just Sunday morning. This is a minimum of what we need. 3 door greeters, 3 audiovisual technicians, 3 children's ministry volunteers, 3 worship team, minimum, 1 safety team, 1 stage greeter. That's for one service. 14 for one service, so 28 total people is what it would take to work effectively on Sunday morning. Here's what we currently have. 2 door greeters. I put down 2 audiovisual, but today you see 1. 2 children's ministry, 5 worship team, maybe 1 safety team, 1 stage greeter. Now, we are covering all of the needs because we have 14 total people with most pulling double duty. 14 total people with most pulling double duty. Now, some of you aren't going to like me as much after this. And if you're new with us, you're probably going to say, wow, he's kind of hard. So is Jesus at times. One of the most common excuses that I've heard at Hannah's Creek when asking people to serve is this. We don't want to miss attending the service. I got great news for you. Now that we have 2 services, you can attend one and serve one. And just so you know, some of you that made that excuse, you still only attend one. You don't serve at one. So we have two services. Now you can attend and serve at one service. Now this, listen, these needs, this is only Sunday morning. Only Sunday morning. Now multiply that by six more days and think of how effective we could be at transforming this community if we had people that were serving. So, you know, this past year, Julie's done a kind of a thing on Facebook where she's always kind of put this out there. We have a seat for you, which I love that. I think that is great. We do. We have a seat for you at Hannah's Creek, but we also have a place for you to serve at Hannah's Creek. We have a seat for you, and we have a place for you to serve at Hannah's Creek. And that's the goal. That is the goal. So here's where you get. Here's where you can get in. Here's where you can fit. Here's where you can help. We've talked about these serve teams. Don mentioned them this morning. He's mentioned them several mornings, Sunday mornings. We have a host team. Those are your greeters. Tom and Connie Lathery do a great job leading that group of people. They're out here a lot. I think they were actually working on a schedule one day this week when I popped in between doctor's appointments. So if you're interested in just standing at a door and being a warm, smiling face that tells people, hey, we are so glad that you came to Hannah's Creek this morning. It's a simple thing that means so much. Talk to Tom and Connie. Another one at the top of my list is the fellowship team. Carla is the best fellowship team leader that any church could have. Without a doubt. So if you like to bake, make food, decorate for special events, see Carla Curry. And if you've never been to one of those things, you need to go and see what she does with the group of people that she has together. Because Carla's great and she's a great leader, but there's a lot of women that pitch in and guys to help make that happen. But that's simple. Make food, bake cakes, see Carla. Dorothy is in charge of the worship team. I would love to see us get to a point where we don't have the same people standing up here for two services in a row every week. Amen. I mean, I can tell you from the guy that stands up here two times in a row every week, it is taxing. It is taxing more than you would realize. And it is not okay to tax people to the point of burnout. And I know that there are several of you out there that sing and have beautiful voices. And I know that some of you are probably could play an instrument. That would be great. We need to be able to rotate and give people some time to breathe. Children's ministry team, see Christine and Michelle. Christine Bowles, Michelle Hill. They lead that team down there. And I'm just going to be honest with you. We need people. Tom Glass and Barbara have done it every single week since we've gone to two services. Every single week. This is something I don't like to talk about, but it's a definite need in the way our culture is. We have a safety team at Hannah's Creek. You know, we want to make sure that if there was ever an event, that we could stop it at the door, that we could protect the people that are here. If you're interested in being a part of the safety, and it's not just, you know, tactical stuff, it's we want nurses, we want people who are trained in healthcare. We actually have a pretty extensive medical kit back there with a bunch of stuff. Like if we, and we've had medical events at Hannah's Creek, and I think we've had plenty of people that stepped in and did a great job. But we want you to be a part of that team, see Seth. We have a care team. Care team does a lot of praying, a lot of cards, a lot of little gifts for people that are going through a difficult time. Gene and Kathy Sanford are the interim leaders for that. And I'll be honest, Gene and Kathy have had some stuff going on in their own life, but they've done a great job stepping in when there was a need. So I'm thankful for that. It was Linda, but as you know, Linda's gone through a lot as well. So if you just like to see, you know what? I just want to make sure people know that they're cared for. People know that they're prayed for. I don't mind visiting people in the hospital if I need to. I don't mind stopping in at somebody's house if they need something, just taking some groceries, anything like that. You need to be a part of the care team. You need to see Gene and Kathy. So the focus areas for 2026, growth through groups, showing through serving. This is what we are going to talk about. This is what we're going to be about. I've told the elders, hey, we had some conversations sometimes that I'm a little uncomfortable with, on the verge of, like, we look at numbers a lot, and specifically numbers of people, right? Which I think is good. I have thoroughly enjoyed seeing this congregation grow. But I also know that we need to focus on spiritual growth as much as we focus on numerical growth. And my fear is that aiming at bottoms in seats is like aiming at earth rather than heaven. And so if we aim at just the sheer number of people that walk through the door, we're going to miss real, true spiritual growth. And I don't want to stand before God and be accountable for that. I don't want to be accountable for the fact that I did not help people grow in their faith. So that's our focus: growth through groups, showing through serving. Get in, get involved. I'm going to say this, and then I'm going to open it up for just a couple questions if you have them. I've been wrestling with this idea of, for some time, I called it maybe a commitment issue, right? A commitment issue where people, not just here at Hannah's Creek, but in the church in America in general, we talk about maybe there's a commitment issue that people don't want to commit to anything within the church. And I was talking to one of my good friends who's also a pastor, church of a similar size in terms of number of people. And we were having these conversations. He runs into some issues where he has a shortage of volunteers as well. And I made the comment, well, we just have a commitment problem in the church. And Will said, I want to stop you right there. He's like, we don't have a commitment problem. It's like, we don't have a commitment problem. If you look at people, people commit to things every day of their life. I started thinking, I see what he's saying. Like, we commit to things every day. You know, my family, we make commitments. We commit to 4-H, showing livestock. That's a pretty big commitment. Some people commit to travel baseball. Some people just commit to their career. Some people commit to unlimited hours of community service. And they make these commitments. And the reality is, we don't have a commitment problem. We have a value problem. People commit to what they see value in. And so as I think about that, and I think about why we constantly are like, man, we need more people. I question the values that we have. Are we valuing the right thing? Right, Don talked about focus, like looking ahead. That's kind of a value thing. Like, are we focused on Christ? Are we focused on His commands, His mission? Because when we value that, we're willing to commit to it. When we see a return on our investment, we're willing to commit to it. And I just want to remind you, there is no greater commitment that you can make in your life than to the cause of Christ. There is no greater return that you could have in your life than the assurance of your salvation and the hope of eternity. Because everything that you value outside of Christ can be stripped away in a moment. In one moment, it could all be gone. but we are promised that we will never lose Christ. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And we can be assured that his kingdom is coming. And when we value that, that's when we will see real transformation here at Hannah's Creek that will bleed out into this community.